Hello again and welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast, proudly presented by Ray White Oakley. My name is Miles. I'm once again here hosting the show after our Christmas and New Year's break. With me as usual is Matt on the side there. Welcome back, Matt.
How are you going, Miles?
We're good. How was your Christmas, New Year's?
It was good. A lot of food, a lot of drinking.
Of course.
But, you know, good time with family and friends. So
I'm sure you're stoked to be back playing cricket.
Yep.
Let's do it. And welcoming for the first time, another new co-host for the Mighty Oaks podcast, James Benn. Welcome.
Thanks, Miles. Yeah, it's great to be here. Happy New Year to you both. Hope
Thank you
had a good Christmas.
Yeah, we did. How about you?
Yeah, it was great. Lots of stuff going on, sort of seeing everybody. Boxing Day in the members with the other OCC contingent.
At the G, a tradition, yep.
An absolutely fantastic day.
Stumps Bar made a turning that day, I heard.
Oh, yeah, we definitely helped prop up their till for the day, that's for sure.
Awesome. Well, before we get into the summary of the games that have happened since we last spoke to you, James, known as Jimmy Benn around the club, just wanted to ask you a few quick questions so we could get to know you.
Yeah.
Tell me how you came to be playing at Oakley Cricket Club.
So I came to Oakley at the start of the 13-14 season, so 10 years now, through family friend John Doig. He got me down there. He'd been trying for a while to get
Shout
me down
out,
to the club. And yeah, just haven't been able to get rid of me since. Absolutely love the joint.
I know. And how many premierships have you played in? A few, I think.
I've played in three and one losing one down at Brighton. But we won't talk about that.
Yeah, no, we don't even remember that.
Yeah.
And a quick one, how would you describe yourself as a player?
Oh, I'd probably describe myself as probably an aggressive player out on the field. Love the contest and, not afraid to play my shots, sometimes to my own detriment.
Fast bowler? No.
Yeah, well, I'm a proven wicket taker. It is a statistical fact. I've taken a wicket in every 11 I've bowled in. So, yeah, take that as you will.
Yeah, I guess you can claim that. Sure. Anyway, welcome. Good to have you.
Cheers.
And good to have you to wrap up the games that have come since we last spoke to you. And also, later on, you're going to tell us about the Craig Shield team, where you're the assistant coach.
Yeah, it's been fantastic getting to spend some time with those boys. There's a strong Oakley contingent and then a handful of boys from elsewhere. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, we'll get into that later. So before we move into the results, I just wanted to sort of quickly summarise for the listeners what's been going on. So we last spoke to you after round six, which was quite a while ago. We haven't been on air for a while, but round seven was a two-day game across 2 weeks that was washed out both weeks. Then we played a one-day game round eight just before Christmas. And then we had 3 weeks off for Christmas, New Year's, which is the normal protocol in subbies. And then we've come back and we've played one game. That round seven game has now been rescheduled for the ones and twos only, I think. They're going to play that as a one-day game on a Sunday in early Feb. So we are going to come back to round seven later on in the year, which sounds a bit weird. But today we're basically talking about round eight and round nine. So we'll get into that now, and we'll start with the first 11, and we actually got another special guest joining us just for the first 11 wrap tonight, making his podcast debut. Let's welcome in Mr. Jack Clark.
Hey,
here he is.
Here we go.
He's getting himself settled.
Here we go.
Hello, Jack. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
We are well. And if you're listening, you probably picked up that that's not an Australian accent.
Certainly isn't.
One of our English imports. And I may as well ask you, Jack. This is your second year playing at Oakley, is that right?
Correct, yes. Yeah, joined last year. Thought I'd stay for another. I've stayed over the winter. Enjoying Melbourne. So, it's been great.
Awesome. Well, it's great to have you here. Thank you for joining us on the podcast.
No worries.
All right, boys. So, let's go to the first 11 wrap-up. As I mentioned, round seven, we skip. We move on to round eight, which was the last game before Christmas. Where the ones and twos played against Elsternwick, who this year are doing incredibly well. You can't see, but in the rooms here, we've got the club championship and the ladders. Elsternwick sitting on top of that club championship, both their first and seconds on top of the ladder. So it was a big game for the boys just before Christmas. One-day game, Elsternwick batted first and were all out for 183. Jack, can you remember back to that game which you played in? How did we bowl on field that day?
Yeah,
and so was 183 a good score, do you think?
I think, feels like a while ago now, but I think 183 from memory, the two openers started pretty slow, but it was quite apparent that the wicket wasn't great. It was a bit a bit sticky, a bit stop-start, and they couldn't really get much going.
The 2 weeks previous had been washed out as well.
Yeah, so there was a bit of that. So I remember watching thinking, yeah, they've not got off to a great start, but it clearly doesn't look like a great pitch, to be honest. So, yeah, they had a couple of good top-order bats as well who couldn't quite get going, which for me is normally a sign that, yeah, this pitch isn't the easiest, especially with a new ball. Normally comes on, and then that, when that white ball gets old, it gets harder and harder, as we know. So, yeah, I remember thinking, yeah, they're doing okay, or we're doing okay. They can't get away, but I remember thinking, this isn't a 220 pitch. So, okay. Yeah, from memory, we started pretty well, but then they got going. A couple of really, I think they're number four, can't remember his name, but he was a talented player. And we dropped a couple as well. I think that's been a bit of a theme this year for our season, yeah, where we just, those key moments, that key half chance, or the key chance, to be honest, when you should catch it, we haven't. And then number four, I think their captain, Edwards, is it? Yeah, I think he put us away, he got 60. But then we rallied. Peaky, I'm just looking at the stats now, Peaky again, bowled brilliantly after that amazing game at Caulfield. He got 4 for 20. And then we were right back in it. And then, again, bit of a theme for the season. Then I remember a couple of their lower order getting 15 or 20, which I think in a low-scoring game like this always felt like it was going to be. 180, I think, was in the end quite a good score. It's not that 220, 230 where you're like, oh, yeah, geez, that is big. But yeah, I remember thinking, this pitch isn't great, but we kind of let them go at the end. So I think in analysis, I think they did pretty well to get there. And again, it was those half chances and the chances where you just got to take them because they're clearly a good side, top of the ladder. You can't give them a sniff. So that's what we did, unfortunately. It was in range for the team we've got, some of the players on show. So it was in the balance, but I just think we came off thinking, you can't drop three or four at this level, especially against a top team. Yeah, they're always going to punish you a bit, and which they did. So 183 in the end was not a bad score, I don't think.
Yeah, so they got 183. As you said, Josh Peak, 4 for 20, was the pick of the bowlers. Gracie and Pearson, Ryan Pearson, Matt Grace, took 2 wickets each as well. And then it came to the chase. And I'll let you tell us about the chase because you're actually the top scorer on this day. So well done. Scored 46 off 66.
Thank you.
And was, from memory, putting on a potentially match-winning partnership with Dill Grandall before you got run out.
Comical fashion, really. Well, yeah. I can take us back slightly to our top order. Yeah, I remember, again, we just couldn't quite get going. A couple of starts. But, again, it was clear that pitch wasn't... The only guy was Pato, who was really striking him, which is no surprise. But yeah, if you look at that, I just had a look then, and yeah, a lot of 10s, 12s, I think Pato got 18. So it was clear that we just couldn't quite get going. So I think when I come in with Dill, yeah, I think we were around 4 for 50, 4 for 60. So at that point, it was a big ask. I must admit, I was really struggling early on. Couldn't quite get going. There was some decent bowling on show, good fielding. Again, the captain Edwards at point, he's a jet. So it felt like, they were on top, to be honest. And then I remember Dill just saying, I'm just going to go for it here. And you see by his score, 33 off 34, top strike rate of the day across the two teams, I believe. So, yeah, he really kind of freed the shackles as he can. He's a brilliant player. And then, yeah, I think I took a couple of risks, which you have to. You 5 off 20, maybe 5 off 25, that kind of region I think I was on. And then we really just start to get going. And against any side, even the top side, when you get going and they start bickering, you hear a few murmurs, a couple of misfields, and all of a sudden it changed pretty quick. I got going, started feeling the ball out the middle, started feeling a lot better, and Dill just kept putting it on. So we really got up in a good spot. We probably put on 50 or 60 together, which again, in a low scoring game, that's really crucial. Disappointing for Dill to get out. because I think if he stayed in for another 5-8 overs, I really think me and him would have just kept pushing on.
Did he get out before?
He did. Yeah, he got out just a few overs maybe, or five, six overs before I got out.
Ran out of wickets.
Ran out of wickets, but I think at that point the rate, from memory, I remember looking over and it was sixes and sevens, which again on that pitch, it's a really tough. I must admit,
it's
a tough place.
Pretty hard to hit.
I think it's
boundaries.
It's a tough ground to bat, to be honest, with the size of the ground. I mean, is it bigger than the MCG? It feels like it is.
I think it's enormous. There was one year where we looked it up, wasn't there?
I believe it's pretty similar. I think they measured it out for the Chargers, so they're playing on something.
And the outfield's slow, so you don't get that value. So again, that 183 on a smaller ground, that would have been 210 to 220. Yeah. So. Yeah, Gracie, I remember coming in and fortunately got out fairly early, and then Ayush come in, and very talented player, and he started getting going.
He got 20-odd, I think, didn't he?
Exactly. So, but yes, in comical fashion, I was run out, unfortunately. Bit of a yes. Well, I don't think there was too many calls, unfortunately, but Ayush plinked one into the leg side, and square legs come round, and I hesitated. I think if I went without any hesitation, maybe could have got in, but just fully dived. Bat went everywhere, my gloves, mud everywhere, so it a bit of a comical fashion, because a few games earlier I had a similar one, didn't I?
Or
early season, so it's not a great start, two runouts when I was going well. I think we still had a fair bit to do, but I felt like I was batting well, so you just never know. And the pressure is on them. You know, when you got a guy that's set and you get two guys who are quick between the wickets, you just never know, but it wasn't to be, unfortunately. Yeah. And in the end, I think we fell way, 20 short, but quite enough.
You probably gathered from the way we're talking, but we didn't win the game, but we got close. No. All out for 169, so only fell about 14 runs short.
Mm.
I think with maybe an over to spare. So it was hard work all the way. We sort of fell behind a bit early.
We did, yeah.
And then playing catch up, and when you get something like a run out,
it's those key moments what we're talking about, and that's what we've not done this year in the ones yet, is those key moments we've fallen short, unfortunately, and that's why we're sat where we are,
Fair enough. Mm. All right, well, I mean, well done for making your 46.
Thanks, mate.
But yes, unfortunately in a loss. So we'll move on to round 9, which was just a few days ago, again out here at Oakley versus Moorabbin. A couple of good stories out of this game for the club, with a couple of first 11 debutants. Congratulations to Tom Eisen, player number 394, who was actually picked to play first 11 back in round 7 before the games was washed out. Then in round 8, with some players returning from injury, played back in the twos. So I think everyone at the club was really happy for him to get the actual opportunity to play. And he did play, took a wicket, so first 11 wicket. So well done, Tom. We also had another debutant that day, Chanaka Ranatunga, who's player number 395. Who's a very talented, classy batsman up from the twos, and also performed reasonably well with the second top score. But the Moorabbin game, we batted first, and pretty much from the first ball didn't go our way. Skipper Ryan Pearson bowled first ball of the match. We did recover, put on about a 50-run partnership between Sam Jones and Nathan Harford at that point, but then sort of lost consistent wickets. Harford top scored 46 off 66, the exact same score off the exact same number of balls as you, Jack, the game before, which is kind of interesting. Yeah. But yeah, Oaks all out 124, and then Moorabbin came out to chase, and despite losing 4 wickets, did it pretty quickly and pretty comfortably in 21 overs with one of their openers, Ashen, making a pretty impressive 98 not out of 56 balls.
He just has those days, doesn't he? He just whacks everything.
Yeah, he really... He did. He really goes for it. I was here watching. 98 off 56, hitting sixes to all parts of this Warrawee ground, which not many people can do. As we said, it's a big ground, and he was smoking them. Well done again to Josh Peak. He was the best bowler for Oakley, 3 for 36 off his 7 overs. And as we said, Tom Eisen picked up his first wicket in first 11. So well done, Tom. Jack, you weren't playing that day. But I know you watched. Anything to add from that match?
Yeah, not too much. I mean, obviously, I was gutted to miss the game, unfortunately. But yeah, catching up with the lads afterwards, and I was watching for a fair amount as well. And yeah, it's obviously a very disappointing loss. You know, the guys were flat. So it's, yeah, it kind of, not is what it is, but yeah, I think it was clear that we just couldn't quite get going. I mean, I started tuning in just as half. I mean, he was going really well, wasn't he?
He had a
comical run out, unfortunately. Yeah, slipped.
He slipped halfway down the pitch.
Yeah, yeah. So those little half moments, they're just so key when you set batsmen. I mean, half's been brilliant this season, got 100 only a few games ago. So just little things like that, it does make a big difference. But no, the guys were, I know they were very flat, really disappointed with how we went. You know, we did have a few guys missing, which never helps either. And that post-Christmas first game, if you're not on, you get punished. But again, that Asham, yeah. 98 off 56, I mean, that's a standout knock. He's clearly a guy that can really punish you. So if you don't get him early, in a low scorer, if he gets out for 10 there,
yeah, I mean,
I'd, not too many of their other guys got going, did they? So it really can swing, but, you know, fair play to Luke, or is that his name?
Yeah.
He obviously did well. So, I mean, I was watching some of those sixes. I mean, he was flat batting, like almost swatting them down the ground for six.
He's a baseballer, isn't he?
Yeah. I think, yeah.
Yeah, baseballer.
That's
great.
What we hear.
Yeah.
Some great hitting. So,
yeah. And I mean, while we're here, we'll throw whatever weight we have here at the Mighty Oaks podcast behind the cause for the subbies. Playing a game on January 6th is too early. There's too many blokes still on holiday.
Or on the beach mentally.
No, yeah, on the beach. Yeah, maybe a 3-week break over Christmas, New Year's, but anyway. Yeah, so unfortunately, two losses for the first 11 in round 8 and 9. That takes them overall to 3 wins, 5 losses, and 1 tie. A ninth or tenth on
ninth.
The ladder.
It's ninth,
yeah,
I believe.
Ninth on the ladder. So we have to start winning some games to get back in the finals, but I think we've got the talent to do it.
We certainly can, and I do think we've got to stay positive, like we really do. There's no reason we can't fling 3, 4, 5 wins together. There's absolutely no reason not. So I know it hasn't quite gone our way across the season, but, you know, we really can get on a run. So I know the boys are going to be positive and we'll go in again. You know, you're allowed to, there's blips sometimes. So I think we have to pick ourselves up. You know, we're going to have a hopefully strong team this Saturday. And yeah, you know, there's no point moping about it. You've got to go again.
Yeah.
And we certainly can go on a run. So all is not lost for my money.
Yeah.
No chance. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us on the podcast today,
no
Jack.
Worries.
Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks for having me, guys.
And we'll swap back in for Matt. But thanks, Jack.
No worries.
Thanks for listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. And thanks to our major partner, Ray White Oakley, who have been helping our members with rentals, leasing, and buying and selling for many years. Thanks, Ray White Oakley, and thanks for listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Welcome back to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Thanks again to our sponsor, Ray White, the official Mighty Oaks podcast sponsor and only Mighty Oaks podcast sponsor. So head down to Ray White Oakley for all your real estate needs. All right, so moving on to the second 11, we're going to talk about first round 8, which was also against Elsenwick. Twos were away this day in a one-day game. Jim, you and I were playing in this game.
Yep.
I might throw to you. Tell us about the start of this game.
It was a funny that we always tend to play Elsenwick the game before Christmas.
Elsenwick at Elsenwick, but game before Christmas. Yeah,
I think
always.
It's been a couple of years now we've found ourselves in that situation, so it was a bit of deja vu, but we bowled really well at the start. Stampsy opened us up with a couple of wickets.
Yeah, he bowled very well with the new ball. Yep.
And so did Big Ben Salmon in his first game in the twos, I believe.
Yeah, first, yep.
Has well come done, up and bowled exceptionally well. But then it has been really the story for the year. Tom Ison and Matty Iron Mike Tyson have both absolutely bowled the house down. Tommy Iyer getting 3 for 9 off his 9 overs, and Iron Mike 2 for 23 off his 9. I think it wasn't until probably his second last or third last over he actually had any runs really scored against him.
Copped a bit. Yeah, so we ended up bowling Elsenwick out for 105, but I reckon they probably put on 30 or 40 for the last wicket.
Yeah.
Their number 10 came out and swung at a few. But yeah, as you said, those two guys, we've talked about them a lot on the podcast, Tom Ison, Matt Tyson, definitely leading the way in the bowling in the twos this year. And well done to Stampsy, who got 3 for 24 off his 9 as well. So yeah, we were chasing 106 to win. This is against the top side at their home, mind you. So really, really good effort to keep them to 105. And then we came out to bat. You want to tell us about the batting innings?
Yeah, well, I'll talk about how well you batted, Miles. But yeah, no, all jokes aside, you definitely led from the front coming out with opening, didn't you? Yeah. With your 70-odd not out, just showing your class, obviously finding that form you had prior to your time away. You batted exceptionally well, well supported by another classy Chanukah, which is probably a reflection on why he got his debut this weekend. He's batted really well this year when he's had his opportunities. And then also... Yeah, definitely can. He just looks absolutely $1 million. And then also supported well by Will Taylor. He came out and you guys got us to that total.
Yeah, I mean, chasing 105, you only really need one good partnership to put that away. And I think Chanukah and I probably put on 40 or 50.
Yeah.
And then Will and I put on another 30. So that pretty much killed the game. We ended up passing them four down for 109 in the 28th or 29th over. So I really... comprehensive win from the twos against the top side.
Yeah,
so
it was nice. Was awesome. We definitely are starting to hit our straps and it was good to string something together.
Yeah. All right, we move on to the weekend just past. Round 9 again versus Moorabbin. The twos away at Moorabbin. Now, I was out injured again for this game, unfortunately, but you were playing, so tell us about how this game went.
Yeah, a bit more fresh in the memory, this one. But I would say it was the first real hot day of cricket for the summer, which is crazy to say, given it's January. So we went in and had a bat. We posted 4 for 194. Carter made his first 50 in the twos, so got a nice 68 out. And the return of Premiership captain Rob Howes.
Rob Howes back in the fold.
He just pretty much picked up where he left off last season, just didn't look like getting out all day. Very few false shots until he got sort of tired at the end.
But and did he retire?
He did retire.
Retired hurt or retired?
Retired tired. I think would be the way to go. He did, really show those linguine skills, chipping one and landing about a metre away from the boundary.
He was trying to get out by the end, was he?
He definitely was. He definitely was. But the class of the man shone through and he couldn't get out. He had to take himself off the ground.
Yeah, I mean, welcome back, Rob. And well done, make 65 and Carter 68. Those two put on a great partnership for the second wicket. Rob Howes, just as a quick aside, has captained the second 11 for the past 3, 4, 5 seasons.
Yeah, through the COVID years.
At least one flag.
Two flags. He won one, I think it was 2021 year they won, and then won and again last year.
So, and it hasn't been playing so far this season. A new father, got a young bub at home, but hoping to play from now on for the rest of the season. So welcome back, Rob. Hasn't trained, rolls in, hits 65. Easy game cricket for Rob. Well done.
I know.
And also worth mentioning, to kick us up to the score of 194 yourself, James Benn, 36 off 32.
Yeah, just come out, whack a few.
A few sixes?
Yeah, a few big boys. Only one big boy, but yeah, it was good.
Nice. Well done.
Cheers. Thank you.
So, defending 194, we had Moorabbin all out for 134. Well done to Raza, Rahul Surendran, who came up for his first game in the second 11.
It was actually his second. We found out he's played a game 2 years ago.
Right, so first game this year.
Yeah.
Well done to Raza, 3 for 38 off his 9 overs. Matty Tyson, once again, 3 for 24 off his 9. And Ben Salmon, 2 for 16 off 8 in his second 11 game as well. Very economical, so well done to Big Ben Salmon, big fish.
Both of them bowled exceptionally well again. And Raza, I couldn't believe it. I remember I coached him before I went over to the UK and he was just a skinny little 15-year-old and now he tails all over everybody and bowls absolute gas.
He's really come on, very talented. So well done, Raza. Look forward to watching you bowl for many, many more matches in the Oakley colours. So overall, the second 11... is that how many wins? 6 wins, 2 losses, I think it would be.
Yeah, that sounds about right, yeah. I think it was just the Caulfield slip-up.
Yeah, only lost 2 games.
Yeah.
And sitting second on the ladder, the twos. So looking good. Well done, twos. All right, well, we might move on. I mentioned at the start of the show, we got Jim on as the assistant coach of our JG Craig Shield team, which is the under-15 representative team for the sub-district competition. They play a 2-3 week carnival at this time of year, early January. So Let's talk about that. Let's tell us a bit about the Craig Shield as assistant coach.
We probably kick stuff off July, August. Our season has very much mirrored the senior group in terms of our training. We probably had about 30-odd boys come down in the cold winter nets to try out. Over a few sessions, we had a good look at everybody and sort of draw it down to our squad of 14, which I'll run through now if you'd like.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'll start off with the boys that aren't playing at Oakley. So we've got Ned Cunnington from Bentley, Cooper Daly from Glen Waverley, Matt Esposito from Ormond, Rishan Sandhu from Croydon, Max Turner from Long Island. And then also we've got a very, very strong Oakley contingent, which is definitely a trend at Oakley. We like to make sure that we get our juniors coming through that development program.
Yeah, and absolutely. Rite of passage a bit for young Oaks to come through, play in the what was the Hatch Shield, now the Craig Shield.
So a couple of fairly familiar names, hopefully on the podcast from senior performances to date. So we've got Joel Ajani, Harry Cashman, Cameron Chappell, Finley Corey, Tom Corey, Sam Duckett, Ashen Hetanyaka, Jaden Kilpatrick, who has one of the great nicknames, Oysters.
Yeah, I like it.
Very good. I was very impressed when that started flying around. So well done, Oysters Kilpatrick, and Rishith Kumar.
Well, that's the team. Yeah. Congratulations to all those boys. Good luck for the carnival, which started a few days ago, but hasn't quite taken off yet.
Yeah, had a bit of a spluttery start, both literally and metaphorically, with the rain that decided to come through on Sunday. But yeah, we trekked on down to Brighton. They won the toss and had a bat. We bowled quite well. It was probably just that little bit of polish we spoke about after the game. We've created our opportunity, so we were definitely in the game. I think the next step for the boys is realising the step up in standard of cricket to make the most of those half chances and take them, and they can really change the game. I think Matt and Max, they both opened the bowling and bowled exceptionally well, and then we sort of went on from there.
And so you got about halfway through the day before the rain came, is that right?
I think there were about five overs left in Brighton's innings to bat. Right. And yeah, so once the rain started, as we are all well aware, it didn't stop until, last night.
Yeah, it was a very heavy few days, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What's the format of the competition?
So it's very similar to our white ball cricket. So it's 45 overs each way. And then we'll go around. One of the great things I like about the Craig Carnival, remembering back to it, is getting opportunity to play at all the main grounds. I think some of these boys are probably still playing third or fourth 11 cricket. Some are definitely playing higher, but it's a good opportunity for them to get out to the main grounds. They'll play, obviously, the South group first, and then hopefully they might be able to get out of the group stage, play finals, and start playing some teams from other sides of the city they may not normally get to play. So it's very exciting for them, and looking forward to quite an optimistic carnival. We're down at Elsternwick tomorrow.
Okay, and that's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
For those listening, we're recording on a Tuesday night. Awesome. Well, good luck to the boys in the Craig Shield team. We're all behind you. We're all proud of you. And as we said, it's a super important part of the sub-district comp. A lot of players grow up and go through that competition. Get to play at all the first and second 11 grounds, which is awesome at that age. So good luck to the boys for the rest of the carnival. All right, we're going to take another quick break here from our partner Ray White, and we'll come back for the thirds and fourths. Thanks for listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. And thanks to our major partner, Ray White Oakley, who have been helping our members with rentals, leasing, and buying and selling for many years. Thanks, Ray White Oakley, and thanks for listening to the Mighty Oaks podcast. Welcome back once again to the Mighty Oaks podcast. We're going to move on now, boys, to the third 11 and wrap up their two games since the last episode. Firstly, we had round 7 against Bayswater in a one-day game. Bayswater batted first in this game and were all out for 141. Well done to Taran Karunaratne, 3 for 34, and Rahul Surendran, who we were just speaking about, went up to the twos after this game, who took 3 for 18. So chasing 142 to win, and we got them 8 down with about 1 over left. So a really tight finish for the threes, but commendable effort to come through in that pressure situation. Thanks largely to stand-in skipper Dimesh Patel, who got 60 not out of 134 balls, just a rock at one end, big D.
He's made an art of the standing skipper the last two seasons, hasn't he?
Yeah, he loves it. Opens the batting, and it's actually great. for the young guys in the thirds to have someone to bat around. And, you know, 60 not out, 8 down in a chase. Well done to Mesh and well done to the boys for winning that one in round 7. Then we moved to round 9, which was this past weekend. And I'll throw to you, Matt. You were down watching this game. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I was able to get down for the batting innings. So ball when batted first, posted 123. They were 9 down. From all reports, Max Gertley led the way with the ball, opened the bowling, took 4 great wickets. Pretty much, I think he bowled all 9 overs to open up. So straight really up. set the tone for the rest of the boys, with Fateh down the other end with the. It's not mentioned here, but I think he took 1 for 10 off his 9. So that was really tight bowling down the other end, really loud. Max to flourish and get those
very
4.
Impressive. Well done, yeah.
As well, Sam Iverson closing out the innings. Those 2 for 23 really vital, making sure that they didn't have a score really blown out. And then in the batting, I think the boys were left ruing the potential. I mean, chasing 123 at Scammell is probably well under par from all of our experience playing at Scammell. So they were hoping for a nice, easy chase, and it looked really good at the start with Carlos and Dimesh opening up and looked really good. Poor Carlos doesn't normally get many hot days over in the UK, so yeah. He was almost passing out on the field.
Struggling a bit,
he was struggling big time, and I think he spent 25 minutes in the shower afterwards because he was cooking. He was overheating.
Yeah. It was pretty hot, and I think just about the first over 30-degree day we've had this summer.
There was a couple of comical photos of Rob Howes and Carter from the second 11 game hunched over at different times. I forgot to make mention of that before. It was very funny.
Tough work out there, brothers.
Yeah. Tough work, especially with the cooler summer that we've had so far. But, unfortunately, Carlos was dismissed and sort of led away for the middle order to give themselves a chance to bat out the game. But, unfortunately, no one really was able to stand up. We had a lot of people dismissed really early on in their innings. KP and Craig and Ant couldn't really get going. Left a fair bit of work for the lower order. We had Max Gertley having 16 off 20, almost getting us over the line, but in the end fell 9 runs short with about 4.5 overs to go. So time wasn't really the issue. It was just no one was able to get that middle to lower order partnership going, which ultimately meant that they fell short in that game.
Yeah, bummer. So ended up being all out for 114, falling 9 runs short. Carlos Wakefield, as you mentioned, made 29 and Dimesh made 27. So your 2 top scorers were your openers. So you had a pretty good opening partnership. But then, as you mentioned, just lost too many quick wickets in the middle and then just couldn't get over the line. But the 3s overall, interesting record actually, 3 wins, 3 losses, 2 draws, which is kind of 3 if you count the one that was washed out. So just sitting on about 500 there, the 3s looking to push on for a strong finish to the year. It's just sitting outside the 4, top 4 finals, I think, in the 3s
there.
Yeah,
top 4, they're on the same points as Mount Waverley, but they're out on net run rate at the moment. So.
Okay. All right, so definitely still in with a chance. So good luck to the 3s for the rest of the year. And we'll move on to the 4s. Only one game to talk about here for the 4s because they didn't play a round 9 game. Which was just a scheduling thing, I think, because it was so soon after Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, so normally 4th 11 don't play the first game after Christmas. I mean, Trent's been harping on about the headache with selection all of pre-Christmas. It would have been interesting to see what he...
Yeah, probably what, lucky. Cause
yeah, what,
I think he was very happy that there was no 4th 11
there would have been,
this weekend.
He would have had to pull a rabbit out of his hat to field 11 that day. But yeah, so going back to Bayswater last game before Christmas... We had a really strong batting lineup. We batted pretty much all the way down to 10 with genuine recognised batsmen. So pre-game, we were talking about potentially looking at 250 on the smaller Bayswater second ground. Unfortunately, the wicket was quite slow, which meant that not many people could get going. So Sean Singh down from the 3s for that week, batting at number 4, really sort of anchored the innings and had everyone bat around him. A combination of a couple of people batting too slow and a couple others not being able to get going on a pretty hard deck meant that we could only post 146. That was also due to the powerful hitting of Ryan Chappell came in at number 6 and really accelerated.
22.
Yeah, he was pretty happy. He hit a big boy over Cow and was talking about it for half his fielding innings from the boundary. You could hear it. And then... we had to defend such a low total. We knew it was going to be hard work, so We knew he had to bowl well in the right areas. Joel Ajani and Aaron Lund back from his exodus over in the Gold Coast.
Welcome back to Aaron Lund, who's a former Third 11 Premiership player here at Oakley probably 4, 5, 6 years ago. Played a number of years here and was up in Queensland and has moved back to Melbourne and straight back to the Oaks. So welcome back, Lundy.
Yeah, so
he's some fast bowler.
He was. It was a good team that. Did we lose a game that year?
I think we're undefeated.
Yeah, there we go.
Third 11 year. Yeah.
Any chance to talk about yourselves, eh, boys? Yeah. So, there was a really good bowling performance from both Joel and Aaron, and they sort of set the standards. Joel especially, having to bowl the last over. I think he was defending five. It was five we had to... I think seven to win, six to draw, five to win.
In the last over.
In the last over. They only had the one wicket to spare as well, or a couple of wickets to spare, and took a wicket off the last ball when they needed one to win. So ice in his veins, Ajani, as we're saying.
So it would have been one to tie, two to win off the last ball?
Yeah, one to tie, two to win.
And took a wicket.
Took a wicket in the most unconvincing fashion. Harry Cashman running into Shaun Singh to take the catch.
Yeah. Was it a sky ball?
Yeah, a sky ball up in between point and cover, and they ran into each other as they were trying to catch it. So a heart and mouth moment.
But held on to the
held
catch.
Held on, took the catch. Ooh. Great win.
How were the scenes, actually?
Oh, the scenes were really good. Yeah. Craig especially. He's very calm and collected when he's playing, but once the result happens, he's one of the more rowdy ones.
He does enjoy it. Am I right in thinking there's been a couple of times this year where those young boys have really led the charge towards a Falls win?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Especially Joel Ajani with the ball. Sammy Duckett's had a few great times with ball in hand. And we've had Raf Parton and Archer with the bat really stand up. So it's really good to see so many of these 15 to 17 year olds in the fourth 11 really driving,
getting it done.
Getting it done. And as a result, I think this is the first time for 3 or 4 years that the fourth 11 sit inside the four, heading third into the Christmas break. So sitting third and looking really good. Normally we've had gone into the back half of the year where we're sort of having to win every game to be in contention for finals, but now sitting in third and a game clear of the four, We're looking really good at the moment.
Yeah, awesome. I mean, one run win doesn't get any closer than that off the last ball. Joel Ajani finished with 3 for 28 and Aaron Lund 2 for 18. They were the wicket takers. Awesome win. That is the only fourth 11 game we've got to talk about. They'll be back on the park this weekend. But we'll move on and talk about the fifth 11, who play only one day games and play every Sunday, and have actually somehow managed to play three games since we last spoke. So they started in round 9 against a team called TTS2. Don't know what that stands for.
Thornbury Turf Strokers.
There we go.
There you go, the Turf Strokers. they had a stroke of the willow first and only managed 127. Ant Howes and Vijay Gatta got 2 wickets each. And the Oaks had a win, chased them down 4 for 131. Well done to the boys there. Carlos Wakefield, who captains our fifth 11 on Sunday, got 41 off 25 balls, went a bit nuts there at the top, and Ryan Kochar got 24 off 29, and then former captain Anthony Howes chipped in with 20 not out off 8 balls just to see him over the line at the end there. So a great win in round 9. Matt, you're going to talk about round 10 for me?
Yeah, I will. So this is a really special game for me. I was able to and fortunate enough to play my first ever game with my old man.
Nice.
We've been wanting to do this for years, probably 7 or 8 years. This has sort of been a dream of ours, but for all manner of reasons, it hasn't happened. So thanks to Trent and to Carlos for helping facilitate us. We got to open the batting together. Really cool experience. I mean, this is the guy that's taught me everything I know about cricket. So
yeah.
To be able to take to the field with him and share that sort of experience was really cool and something that will sort of live on my memory for ages. Yeah.
And was your old man much of a cricketer in his day?
Yeah, so my old man played 3 or 4 years at Carlton in Premier Cricket, as a bowler. He's taken stacks of wickets and he's always wanted to play with me. He was able to play with his three brothers and his father back when he was in his playing days, back at Hague Amateurs out Coburg way. Shout out to them.
Nice.
But yeah, so it was a really cool experience until he did a Miles Fabris hamstring and had to retire hurt.
Easy to do. Yeah.
So he was looking all right. He made 10 off 24, and then I stayed out a bit longer with 29 and batted well with Carter to just sort of put on a good middle order partnership, and we were essentially none down at the at the drinks break, so we turned into a bit of a 20-20, which meant that we could extend the score out to 183, being good eight score. Down. Yeah, few big boys from Matt Johnson towards the end really propelled up the scoring. I think it was 21 off 7 at one stage, so he was going a bit ham. And then defending against CUCC, rolled them for 143, and Howes 4 for 28. Off his 9 overs, and Tommy Miles 2 for 14 was actually on a hat trick for a while there with a few people that had filtered down from the festival that was going on. There was a bit of a cheer squad on the far side on the hill, which was a pretty cool experience.
But the people's champion brings them in from everywhere.
Exactly. So it was really good in terms of overall effort from everyone. There was a few other contributors with the ball, Matt Johnson, and think of anyone else, but everyone really well-rounded performance, and got the win in that game.
Another win, CUCC all out 143, and then we move on to round 11, which was also pre-Christmas, against Melbourne Strikers 1. Melbourne Strikers batted first. They were all out for 172. Anthony Howes 5 for 25 off his 7.
I actually made it down to that game. Howsy turned up a little bit late. The game was sort of drifting away from us. They'd put on a few partnerships, and as Ant does so often, came in, took some very important quick wickets, and restricted their total.
Can I ask, was he late because he was doing chores? Because that's why he was late on Sunday. That was the reason he was listed as late, doing chores.
I'm not too sure. I was recovering from the Christmas loud shirt night, so I was just tucking into my KFC and saw him wandering onto the pitch. So not too sure of the reason why he was late, but yeah.
So then you sat there on the hill with your KFC and watched the Oaks chase down 172, 5 down.
I did. Big shout out to Ryan. He batted exceptionally well. The way he hits the ball is just absolutely amazing. I've seen him a few times in the nets do it to senior bowlers, but to see him do it out live was fantastic. And a big shout out to him as well for making the Dowling Shield side for Paran.
Amazing.
Would have kicked off today, but as has been well documented, a bit wet, so they'll get their carnival kicked off shortly as well.
Amazing. Well done, Ryan. And he got 62 in this game.
He did.
Craig Johnson chipped in with a very handy 29. As I said, they chased down 172, 5 for 175 to round out their third win in a row. A very good little patch for the Fives. They did have a game going this past weekend on the Sunday, but only got a couple of overs in before it started raining. So they'll take a draw from round 12, and we'll check back in with them next episode. So before we wrap up today's episode, I just wanted to quickly cover the veterans team, which we talked about in a few of our earlier episodes. They have a shorter season. They don't play as many games, so they hadn't played any games last time we spoke. They won their first 3 games, lost round 4 to Hawthorn, but won in round 5 against Glen Iris. So it puts them at 4 wins, 1 loss, and they're sitting second on the ladder with 2 more home and away games to go. So well done to the Vets. They're looking good for finals. And good luck to them. I don't think they have a game this weekend. It might be the weekend after that. So well done to them. Anyway, boys, that pretty much wraps up all the games that have happened over the past month or so, including the Christmas break. Thanks for joining me, Jim. Thanks for joining us on the podcast. Good luck with the Shield team.
Thank you. It was remiss of me to mention earlier on my fellow coaches as part of the Craig program.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
Big shout out to Ryan Chappell, who's heading up another year of the Craig Shield.
Yeah.
He's been involved in it for as long as I can remember. I know he was assistant coach with Doigi for a number of years and has taken on the reins himself and done a fantastic job.
Yeah, well done, chaps. Absolutely.
And then also, another very, very, very good clubman, Nick Thurgood. He's also assisting me, or one of the assistants with me. So, it's great having those boys leading the charge.
Nick Thurgood, the face of Turtles Landscape and Construction.
Yep.
Well done to you guys. Good luck for the carnival. Next game tomorrow.
Yep, tomorrow.
First official game tomorrow, so good luck. Thanks once again to Ray White for being the partner of the Mighty Oaks podcast. Keep an eye on our social media. Follow Oakley Cricket Club on Instagram and on Facebook. And on YouTube, we live streaming games. Also worth mentioning, the sub-district run a 2020 competition, Twilight competition. The first game of that was actually supposed to be tonight, but with all the rain, it's been washed out. We do have a game next week, sort of a interesting format where you play two group games and then hope to progress from there. So we were scheduled to play Brighton tonight and Caulfield next Tuesday. So keep an eye.
I think it's the other way around. Yeah, it's Caulfield tonight, Brighton next week.
Okay. And we're not too sure what will happen to where the game will be rescheduled or what will happen there. But they will be coming up, so keep an eye out. We're hopefully going to do a bit of commentary as a podcast team on the live stream for our home T20, whenever that may be. And that's about it. Anything else to add, boys, before we wrap it up?
Just one more thing. Great campaign that Toyota have kicked off. They do this every year, the Good for Cricket raffle.
Yes, of course.
The Oakley Cricket Club have entered again. So show your support for the club. Head to Toyota Good for Cricket raffle for the Oakley Cricket Club page. All your ticket money gets given back to us, which we use for our equipment and for everything around the club. Mm-hmm. So if you can hop on, the top $5 a ticket. I believe they have 3 cars up for grabs this year. Absolutely. Great range of prizes. Find the link in the description. And please, just even one ticket helps the club massively. So yeah. if we can get the whole community behind us, that'd be an amazing sort of achievement for us.
Absolutely. So that's the Toyota Good for Cricket raffle. You've probably heard it advertised if you've been watching the test matches and the Big Bash on TV. They talk about it there. But yeah, as you said, the club can really gain some money from that. So we'll be selling those tickets over the next few weeks. So either get down to the club or get in touch with us if you want to buy some tickets, $5 tickets. Also worth mentioning, just very quickly, that the club has also registered for the container deposit scheme.
Bit me to it.
Yeah, do you want to tell us about it?
No, you go for it. I was having a look.
All right, sure. Well, yeah, the scheme is about recycling plastic bottles, cans, glass bottles. And so we'll be saving all those from the club and taking them down to the centre to get 10 cents for each one. The club actually has a code where if you want to do that and send the money straight to Oakley Cricket Club, you can do that. I'll put the details on the screen if you're watching on YouTube or in the description, but I'll quickly read out our code. If you're listening, it's 200001-0045. That's good radio, but that is the code for the container deposit scheme for Oakley Cricket Club, and we'll post a little bit more about that on our socials.
Yeah, keep an eye on the socials. We'll be doing a drop really soon, so we'll be showing everyone how to do it. It's a super simple process. I'll do it at home.
Awesome.
And yeah, it's great investment for the club.
All right, fantastic. Well, that's been another episode of the Mighty Oaks podcast, the first episode of 2024. Thanks for joining me, boys. Thanks again to Jack Clark for joining us this episode as well. Good luck to all teams for the rest of the season. Let's have a fantastic finish and motor on towards finals.
Yeah, hopefully an Oaks day soon.
Let's go.